Our loving Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have on this Sabbath of spending this hour with you. We thank you for music. We thank you for harmony. We thank you that we might be able to participate in being part of your family and singing praises to Jesus, your Son. We ask that you'll bless us as we spend this time now together, and may your Holy Spirit truly open our eyes that we might see, and open our ears that we might hear, and touch our hearts that we might understand. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that some of you brought your Bibles this morning. I invited you to do that last night. Perhaps some of you didn't remember this morning. But today and tonight, it's very important that you bring your Bibles so that you can prove that what I'm sharing with you is true. Last night we talked about, can you trust me and do I dare trust you? In order to build that trust, we have to base it upon some evidence as well as upon it is written. And so I'm encouraging you to bring your word. And if you don't have it with you this morning, I would encourage you to at least try and mark it in your mind, the three texts that I'm going to share with you basically today. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 1. Then we'll take a look at Romans chapter 8. And then at Revelation chapter 3. Tonight, we're going to be talking about exchanging parents isn't easy. For those of you that are still around, I hope you'll be here tonight. For some of you, perhaps a larger portion of those who will be listening to this message today and tonight via tape, a larger percentage of them will understand what we're talking about this week, and that is what it means to be in a single-parent home. What it means to have a stepdad, or what it means to have a stepmother, they'll understand the hurt, the frustration, the agony of saying goodbye to one parent and accepting another parent. Perhaps some of you understand that too. This week, as I've shared with you last night, we're going to be talking about some very delicate areas, some very sensitive areas, some areas that are extremely important in your life. And we're going to try and take off all of the facade, the sham, the innuendos, the overtones, and come right through to your heart and to mine, so that we can talk about real issues that real people, such as you, are involved in. Today I have some good news for you, and I want you again to turn in your mind, if you would this morning, to Ephesians chapter 1 as Paul opens this particular letter to his friends at Ephesus. Chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, and I'm reading from the Old King James Version, as I've shared before perhaps to some of my friends, the reason I use this book is because it sort of challenges my mind. There's a lot of other translations that are very easy to read and you get smart real quick. Well, this one sort of challenges my mind, Mike, and that's why I enjoy reading the Old King James. It sort of stimulates some thinking just a little bit. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ, Nova Scotia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now follow carefully the next verse, very carefully, because it's good news for, I think, some of you here today. The title of today's talk is, So You Were Adopted. Some of you have been adopted here today, and you know how you've struggled with that particular frustration, perhaps in your life. Today, before we're done, hopefully all of you can identify to some degree with some of you here who have been adopted. Notice carefully what Paul says in verse 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. He says, according as he, God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined, or predetermined, if you please, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by or through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, or in Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, there's a lot of theology there, and I'm going to try and make it as simple as I can for you today, because I think that it's important that we understand the Word of God and not try to make it confusing. There's enough confusion going around without making it more confusing. So I'd like to just talk with you today about what we've just read. The Bible says in verse 4, I'm suggesting this morning for your approval and appreciation, according as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world was laid. I'm suggesting that there's not a one of you in this room today that was an accident. I want you to think about it for a moment. I've heard over 20-some years in my ministry that there are some young people that have come to me and said, well, I was a beloved baby. And I would often smile back at them and say, well, praise the Lord, it's a whole lot better than being a hate baby. You're a love baby. Somebody must have loved you even before you were born. No, you don't understand. I smile and I say, yes, I understand. The tragedy is, young people, most of us don't understand. For the Bible says that before the world was created, you were chosen by God. Now that should be some good news. You were not an accident. Last night I asked you to trust me. Hopefully this week you will learn to trust me, because I've learned some things and I have some wisdom today I'm sharing with you from God's Word. I wish I would have understood at your age what I'm sharing with you now at my age. So you can have my wisdom at your age, plus all of your knowledge and all of your understanding, and be far in advance of where I am. That's why it's important we trust each other. God said that He chose you before the foundation of the world so that we could be holy and without blame before Him. But some of us have some problems. We'll talk about those as we move along this week. But verse 5 says that He even predetermined before the foundation of the world that you and I would be born, that we would be adopted. Because of those problems, it was necessary that we be adopted into His family through Jesus Christ to Himself as the Father. There are some people today that somehow get very angry at the world and angry at the church and angry, I guess, at a lot of people because they were born out of wedlock, or they don't know who their mother was or their father was, and some don't know their mother. They were given up for adoption from birth. And they become very angry because nobody loves them. Nobody wants them. And so they go around and seem to hate everybody and everything, including themselves. The good news is that they were loved. And they are loved. And they were planned for. And God had them in mind. You know, if I had a blackboard here again this morning, I would draw a little sort of a fellow, a little circle with a little tail on him, and I'd put the little tail out there. And that's little Mr. Spermie. And then I would draw a little circle and I'd put a little egg over there, and that's from the mommy. And if I could draw enough of them, we'd have about 20,000 of those little sperm. And yet there was one, just one, out of all those little tiny sperm, those little, you've seen them before, they almost look like little polywogs. And as you see them magnified, they're cute little characters, and they swim very, very rapidly. In fact, it's the first race they've ever had together as a family. Because they are family. They are potential brothers and sisters there once they unite with that egg. They become potential brothers or sisters. But the miracle of that conception, of that fertilization of the egg, the miracle of it is that only one went. I want you to think this morning, because you're not little children anymore. You're young men and young women. I want you to think this morning. And as you look into the mirror, which you spend a lot of time doing, I think at least part of this group does, probably spend a lot of time looking in the mirror. I hope that next time you look, you'll look deep into the face of the one that you see and say thank you for swimming so hard to get there, number one. Thank you. Maybe that's one reason I've discovered why people are so tired out, because it was the fastest race they ever won. And then we settle down and relax from then on. But folks, I want you to seriously think about what I've just read from what Paul said, that you were predetermined. You were chosen of God before the world was created, meaning that you couldn't have been born. You couldn't have been born until you were. There are some of us that say, oh, I wish I'd have been born in another generation. Couldn't have happened. God didn't plan for you to be born in another generation. You were born in this generation because God predetermined that this was the day in which you were to live. Oh man, I sure wish I had him as a dad. Sure wish I had her as a mother. I've heard a lot of people say that, including my three sons, so I know some people say it, and perhaps all of us have said it from time to time. I wish that he was my dad. Well, I'll tell you a little secret. You've already ahead of me. If you had him for your dad, he wouldn't have you for his son or daughter, because you couldn't have been born through him being your dad. Think about it. That's why you owe something to your own blood father and your own blood mother. You owe something to them, the fact you're alive. Because you would never have been born had any other mother, any other father come together. It wouldn't have been you. And the miracle of it is that even in that one time when you were the one that made it to that little egg and fertilized mommy's egg, that out of all the 20,000, only one of you would have made you. Had any other of those sperm made contact with that egg, you wouldn't have been born. Your sister would have, or your brother would have, but you would have never known them. Now think about that. I have a simple mind, folks, but that thrills me that I was chosen. I was born at a certain time in history. Why? Because God had a divine plan for my life. I'm suggesting that God has a divine plan for your life, and He chose you before the world was formed for a special and holy purpose. You were not an accident. And somebody ought to say amen to that. Folks, I don't care what you've been told. I don't care how you feel inside. God's Word tells me that you were brought into existence because you were needed. I'm told by my favorite author, Ellen, that no more surely is there a special place prepared in the mansions above than there's a special work for you to do on this earth. Do you like that? Now, every one of us believe that God has mansions up there. We sing about them. And we've been taught that since we were just little tiny tots, that God has a real heaven, and He's going to come back someday, and He's going to give us a mansion. We believe that. But we're told that no more surely does that, is that going to happen, than He has chosen you for a specific work on this earth. What is that work? To get married and get rich and live happily ever after. That is not your mission. That's a side benefit. You have a divine calling. Every one of you in this room. God Himself says, I will be your father, and you will be my children, and through Jesus Christ, I will allow Him to be your elder brother, and thus you will be adopted into the family through the Beloved, and you will become part of my family. I want you to think this morning, because I'm speaking some very heavy thoughts in very simple language, I hope. I'd like for you to take a look at Romans, our second verse for this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many, same author, Paul speaking here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now tonight I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be led by the Spirit of God, and tomorrow we'll speak a little bit more about what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. But today I don't want to get into that, because I want to just leave you with some extremely good news. There'll be another flip side of that good news, which is not bad news, it's still good news, it's great news, but there's more to the picture, young people, than what I'm sharing with you today. But I just want you to grasp the foundation, the principle that you are needed. You are important. The bondage, again, to fear, have you not? The Value Genesis report that's been studied about young people from all over this nation to find out why so many young people no longer attend church and why church is so boring, which we're going to be talking about Sunday morning. We discovered in there some fascinating things about young people and their thinking. One of the things they discovered is that the great majority of Seventh-day Adventist youth believe, beyond any shadow of doubt, that Jesus Christ is coming again to this earth in a real fashion, in a real manner, and realize we'll see a real Jesus Christ. Now, they believe it. But you know what they also discovered about you? That the great majority of Seventh-day Adventist young people are scared to death because of that event. Why? Because they do not believe they're ready to see Him come. So they're fearful, afraid. You know what it is to be afraid? You must, because that report is talking about you. But notice what Paul said. For this special group of people who were chosen by God, who are sons of God, who are led by the Spirit of God, who receive no longer the spirit of bondage, where they're fearful, but they've received the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, we're glad that you have come. Fear's gone. You see, perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. And Satan wants you to believe that you were an accident. Satan wants you to believe you're not important. Satan wants you to believe that you're way down on the totem pole. Jesus says, oh no, all of you are brother. All of you are sisters. All of us are part of the same family. We are all equal before the foot of Calvary's cross. There's no higher sphere and lower sphere. That's Plato's mentality, by the way. Some of us have bought into it. But Jesus' philosophy, His teaching, His doctrine is, you're all equal. Every one of you are my children and I love you all the same. Nobody has an extra foothold, an in, if you please, with Jesus. He loved you before you even knew He existed. You didn't have to earn His love. He loved you. Now, for a normal child who's born, I say normal, meaning you have a real mommy and a real daddy that's there, and when you open your eyes and finally you focus in on two faces, for a normal little baby that is born, it sees a mommy and a daddy, for a normal little child, it grows up in an environment where it's accepted and loved, and cooed over, and played with, and changed and fed all at the right time. In fact, a normal baby, which seems to be very rare these days, a normal baby is actually planned for, and when the baby arrives, it has its own room. Did you know that? Doesn't have to sleep in mommy and daddy's room, because they didn't think about this little character until it's born. Didn't have to sleep on the couch the first night. It could sleep in its own little room where they had nice little trinkets hanging down from the ceiling. And it had nice paper on the walls. It was special for children with balloons or little animals. It was special for the little one. In other words, you were special. You were chosen by your mommy and daddy. I'm saying that when Jesus chose you, you were special. He had a place for you. Not only in heaven, He had a place for you on this earth. He had special little things for you too. A normal little child is born, realizes that he has a real mommy, a real daddy, who loves him, who provides for him, who takes care of him. But the tragedy is that Satan has come in to destroy the family today, so that when a baby is born, he or she really do not feel that love, that affection, that being needed in their life. So they go in search of it. And young people, the most tragic thing I'm discovering in my life is that if a young boy, a young girl, grows up and finds no love from their own mommy and daddy, then they will never find it in another mother or father, listen, or lover or companion. What I'm saying is that generally a person who has felt rejection by their own mother or their own father will determine in their little mind that if my own flesh and blood can't accept me, who in the world out here cares whether I live or die? You know why Satan tries to destroy the home? Because he wants to destroy you. Because that thinking will ultimately destroy you. The thinking of the Word of God is that you were chosen. Even if your own mother and father reject you, God says, I will be your father. You are needed. I love you. I plan for you. I have created you. I have given you life. It was your mother and father that came together. And out of that came you at a specific time because I want you. I need you. I love you. Folks, that's a message that we need to be giving to the world. That's a message that you need to be giving to your peers who are not Seventh-day Adventists today. As I was talking with our neighbor that lives down the road here, some of you were here the other evening before camp started. Brother Bill, or William, is his name. His mother is a singer, I understand, nationally known throughout Canada. He was standing outside the tent here the other evening. My wife talked to him for about an hour. He's confused in his mind. He's confused as to religion and what it's all about. That young man needs to be here. He needs to be your friend so that you can share with him what I'm sharing with you, that God has chosen him, that he's special, and he has gifts. Special gifts. And because of who his parents are, he will soon probably be well known throughout all the provinces of Canada. Someone made a comment that it was a real pleasure and an honor for us to talk with him. Not to belittle the comment at all, I can appreciate where the comment was coming from, but I would like to say something in response to that. The greater honor was his to talk with us. Are you listening to me? The greater honor was his because he does not know the God that you and I are privileged to know. We may have a name that the world honors and seek autographs. But dear friend, what value is it if you lose your soul in the end? You see, somebody already signed your name. May I suggest? They already autographed your name in a book, in a baby book. May I suggest? That when you were born, somebody wrote your name down in a baby book. And that person doesn't want to take that name out of the baby book. Anybody like to guess who that was that wrote your name down? It was your father. Your real father in heaven. Wrote your name down in his baby book because he wanted you to be one of his kids the rest of his life. It's kind of nice to know your name's written somewhere, isn't it? Isn't that? And you know something? You didn't even put it there. He did. This could be real heresy, what I'm telling you now, but I ask you to go back and study it. I'm suggesting that if God called you into existence and God prepared this world for you before you were ever born, He knew you by name, then certainly He put your name in His baby book and planned all this world for you. He hung the beautiful stars above your crib. It was He that gave all the baby food to you that surrounds you day by day in the natural world. The fruit, the grains, the nuts, the vegetables, and all their varieties and colors. He made it all for you because He loves His kids. And so we can cry to Him, Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now folks, think with me for a moment. If you were adopted into a particular family, and let's say the family's name is Smith, just pull a name out of the air, Smith or Joneses. If you happen to be adopted into that family, what does your last name become? Help me out. Smith or Jones, right? That wasn't a hard question. You take the name of your father. Whatever he is, that's what you become by title. Legally, adopted, you now have his name. I'm suggesting when you were born in this world, you automatically were owned by God. He chose you. You were his. He claimed you. Said, she's mine. I put her in my baby book. Now listen to me, folks. If you belong to God from birth, then what's your last name? That's close. Real close. I want to share a text with you. Our third text in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. It's something more we all memorize because we have to get a grade on it and we have to pass. We haven't got a clue what we're talking about. You ever gone through school like that? I did. Had to get the grades. So I memorized all these memory verses. You probably don't have to memorize them anymore. You guys are so smart. Back then, we had to memorize 50 of them a quarter, word perfect, with all commas, punctuation marks. Otherwise, we could miss more than what there was actually there to learn. You understand what I'm saying? And I did occasionally. It was easier not to write the memory verse in some cases, because I had some professors that knocked me off for every misspelled word, every comma that was misplaced, and so on. And I could actually go in the hole. You know what I mean? So I just hand in blank papers after a while. Actually made more than if I tried to write it out. So some of us have a hard time memorizing some of these things, but I want you to do more than just think about what we're going to read here. I want you to honestly understand what we're going to read here this morning. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus speaking. If any man or any woman hear my voice and open the door, I will do what? Does anybody remember? I will come in to him and to her and will sup with them and them with me. And then, what does the rest of this little verse talk about here? Listen to verse 21. Now to him, to her, those that we've eaten with. I better stop for a moment because, you see, here in our culture, it doesn't mean anything to sit down and eat with somebody. Except you get a full belly, a free meal, and feel good about it. When you eat with somebody in the Middle East, it's a different world. Because when you sit, even to eat at the home of an enemy, if he invites you to eat, then he automatically becomes your protector. You are his guest, and you become his friend for life. Are you hearing me? Why? Just because you ate with him. You had chow and became a friend of his for life. Yeah. Because you don't eat with someone unless they have an intimate relationship. And the most intimate relationship you can have with someone in the Middle East is to share bread with them. Eat with them. That makes a little different emphasis in verse 20, doesn't it? I am standing and knocking at your door, and if you will open your door to me, I will come in as the bread of life. I will feed you, and we will have a covenant relationship that will not be broken. And I will be your protector the rest of your life. Pretty good deal. Notice verse 21. Now to him, to her, that eats with me and overcomes, to him and to her will I grant to sit, oh, this is interesting, with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church at Nova Scotia. Let him hear. What did I just say? What is the Spirit saying to you this morning? Would you listen? If you're adopted into the family of God, whose name do you take? If you eat with him and he becomes your eternal protector, and he grants you as a result the right to sit with him on his throne, then you must have been adopted into the family of royalty. Would you agree with that? There is no higher adoption in the world, this world or any other. For you have been adopted into the king's family who created this world. See, that's why I don't get too impressed anymore. Now, I used to when I was your age, because I was foolish, like you are at your age. That's why I'm sharing some wisdom with you, that your foolishness might be laid aside and you might become wise at your age. That you might profit something. I today have discovered that I am part of a royal family that makes it so exciting in my personal life that I do not have to seek autographs of famous people because I am one. And they don't get any more important than me in the eyes of God. Did you know that? Don't ask for my autograph, or I'll have to ask for yours. Because you see, folks, we're all the same. You are just as important to God as I am. That's why I don't care what kind of rock you may listen to as far as your star. By the way, all rock stars are on the blink. I want you to know that. Those stars we're going to talk about this week. We'll be very frank. I'm going to talk to you about some of them. And some of you have some pictures on your walls, by the way, that may not be human pictures at all. Don't miss this week, please. I'm learning some things, folks. I want to share something with you from God's Word that some of you are messing around with somebody out there that's not the King of the universe. And some of you are paying allegiance to a king who wants more than your autograph. He wants your life. And he wants it so he can annihilate you from the planet Earth. Because you see, you are royalty. You belong to the King of Kings. You belong to God. You are God's kids. And Satan hates God. And the only way he can get to him is to kill his kids. And I'll tell you something as a father this morning. Anybody touches my three sons and there's war. Oh, no, I'd be nice to you. You know, I'd pray for you. I wouldn't hurt you. But folks, I want you to know, if somebody hurts your kid sister, some of you big fellas in here are going to come unglued. At least you should. Have a little righteous indignation in you and say, you should not have done that to my sister. Hope to God we still have some men that would do that and defend their sister. God wants to defend us, but Satan wants to annihilate us because he hates God. Folks, what I've been trying to say is that because you've been chosen by God, you've been adopted by God, God has eaten with you. He is eating with you right now through feasting on His Word, His truth. If you will accept His truth this morning by faith, you become a partaker of royalty. Meaning that Queen Elizabeth is your sister. Meaning that there's no royalty in this world that is superior to you. That you are a child of the living God, having the right to sit on a royal throne which will govern ultimately the entire universe. And what I'm saying is that you will become part of the triune Godhead through adoption into the family of God. Now, I don't know how you like that or not, but if God is your father and you are his adopted child, then you have godlike rights. Please hear me. You also have godlike responsibilities. Did you hear me? If you're going to be a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then you are going to have to reflect, hear me now, the kind of person your daddy is. Let me make it very simple. We have three sons, Kevin, Kelly, and Kenny. The three K's. Don't know why we named them that. Until after we did, and then I understood that that was probably a wise choice. Not that they're bigoted, they're just a group of interesting characters that we've enjoyed. But those three sons are now of age that they can stand behind their daddy's name, they can carry their daddy's name with pride, or they can be ashamed of their daddy's name. And I have certainly given them opportunity and reason why they probably should be ashamed of their daddy's name. Because this man has not always been a perfect father. Made many mistakes. I failed my kids. I've let them down many, many times. They know that. And I've apologized for that. I've asked their forgiveness for that. But we're talking about a heavenly father who's never made a mistake. Never let us down. And he's saying, I don't want you to let me down either. I want to make a covenant relationship with you. I want to lead you by my Spirit so that you can really be the princess, ladies, on this earth that I've chosen you to be. And young men, I want you to be kings on this earth. Royal priests on this earth. Holding your heads high because God is your Father. When you look into the mirror, you can be very thankful that that person in the mirror was chosen by God. That you are royalty. Tragedy is, young people, that many of us don't act like royalty. We act, excuse the expression, but I think too many times we act like trash. We act like we don't belong. We act like nobody cares. We act like we are just a misfit, an unacceptable, unwanted individual with no brains, no brawn, no nothing, no looks, no this, no that. God doesn't make junk. He made you. He made you in His very image. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to sit you on His throne to rule throughout eternity with Him. That's not a joke. That's the Bible. That's what the Word of God is all about. Let's go back to my three sons. Number one son, I was in college. Number one son, I got a phone call one day. In the middle of Revelation class, I had an unexpected revelation. A phone call from my wife. And she said, when I got to the phone frantically, "What in the world is the emergency that would call me out of Revelation class in college? What do you have? What's happened? The house burning down? What's happened?" I was a young man, my early 20s. My wife said, "Honey, would you like to have a baby boy?" And I said, "Sweetheart, we can talk about this tonight. We don't need to talk about this during Revelation class." She said, "Oh yes, we have to talk about it right now." Because she said, "Within the hour, I have to tell the person that we either do or don't want him." I said, "Wait a minute, let me sit down." Now, we hadn't even hardly talked about having a child yet. I knew that my wife would love to have had a little baby, but I was going to college. There's no time to start your family. Learn from me, that's wisdom. All right? But the time had come for this little boy to be placed. And evidently God had chosen my wife's compassion to be directed in that little boy's behalf. And I was given an hour to make up my mind whether we wanted a baby boy. And so I put it before the Lord during that Revelation class. I couldn't think on what the teacher was talking at all. My mind was 1,000 miles away, like some of yours perhaps have been today, because you have greater issues on your mind than what I'm talking about. Bless you if you do. I'll be praying for you. So I went home that day. I talked to her. I said, "We've got to put this before the Lord and make it an issue of prayer to see if He's going to open the door for us." Well, she had already told the lady that if the Lord will open the door, we will take the little baby. Within 24 hours, we were on our way across the state to an Adventist hospital to pick up a little boy that had just been born. His mother had given birth and walked out of the hospital not knowing whether it was a boy or a girl. We were the first parents that ever looked in the face of that little boy, and we picked that little boy up and brought him home. There was some legal work we had to work through, and I remember sitting with some lawyers, and I remember sitting with the judge. That was a frightening experience. It was a woman judge. And she looked across that awesome desk at my wife and at me, just a young man in my early 20s, not experiencing what it's like to have a baby of your own. I mean, you don't go out and buy them. At least I wasn't planning that. But we paid a price. And now he suddenly was becoming ours. Now I had to sign on the dotted line. And I remember this judge looked at both my wife and me, and the judge said, "I want you to know, before you sign your name to this document, making yourself his parent, giving to him your legal name, that when you sign on the dotted line, this boy will become more your son than if you had had him yourself." I'd never heard such in my whole life. And I said, "Well, excuse me, I'm going to college. I haven't graduated yet. You see, I was thinking, I'm not smart enough yet. I don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean he's more ours than if we had him ourselves?" Then she explained something I never understood before, never knew. She simply said that you will give your child your name until he is 18 years of age, after which he has the right to go into any law office such as mine and have his name changed. But you can never change his name. You can never blot him out of your book. Only he can choose to be blotted out." You know, young people, that taught me something, and I mulled that over in my mind for a long, long time, and it wasn't until some time later that I was reading what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. about adoption. Suddenly it hit me, and I realized that that's exactly what Paul was saying. You and I have been chosen by God. You and I have been accepted by God. We have been adopted by God. There's no doubt in God's mind as to whether He wants you or not. Young people, please hear that. You, every one of you in this room, have been accepted by Jesus Christ. Through His death, through His love, through His life, the Father, God, has accepted you. Should never have a doubt in your mind about how God thinks about you. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son that you might have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's a neat thought. He wants you to sit on His royal throne one day and rule with Him. But there's a catch. We'll talk more about it tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. The catch is that you've now become of age. Some of you in this room have become of age. The legal document still has your name signed with the heavenly family. This Friday night, if not before, and I hope that some of you will even make the decision before, but this Friday night you can make a decision to leave your name where it is or ask Him to take it off because you're not interested anymore. It's up to you. God will never take it off unless you ask Him to. I like a God like that. I want my name to stay right there. And I pray, young people, that that's where you will let Him keep your name too. You know, it's not a crisis to be adopted. In fact, I'm thrilled today that I have been adopted. Some of you are just fortunate enough to have been adopted twice. I keep telling my oldest son, Kevin, I said, "Hey, guy, cheer up. You've been loved at least twice in this world. Your dad and mom love you. And I know God loves you. And He gave you to us. We've chosen you. But more importantly, God chose you before the foundation of this world was laid." That's heavy. And I thank God for it. I thank Jesus. I thank the Holy Spirit who has brought to my attention the things that I've shared with you today. I'm going to invite you to do something with me before we have our closing prayer this morning. I'm going to invite you to sing a simple little song with me. And if, again, you want to, I don't want you to sing this if you don't want to sing it. But if you feel in your heart this morning a little appreciation, maybe just a little spark of appreciation for your Father in heaven and for Jesus, for what He did to become your brother, and you want to thank the Holy Spirit who's teaching you some of these things even today, then sing this little song with me. I think perhaps most of you know it. Maybe none of you do.
Father, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Jesus, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Spirit, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You.
Father in heaven, we just want to thank You today for writing us in Your baby book, even before this world was created. As You looked down to the end of time, You knew that this day would come, and that we would have been born. Father, You have a divine plan for every man and every woman in this tent. You have a special purpose in their life, but many of them are way wide of the mark today. Many of them have their goals and their eyes set on things of this world. And Father, they'll never find Your way unless Your Spirit comes into their life and gives them new insight. I thank You for giving them perhaps today a new look in a new direction beyond this world to one day sit alongside You with Jesus in His throne where we might be able to see worlds unknown and with you to rule throughout eternity. Kingdoms that today we don't even realize exist. So, Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to get our eyes maybe a little higher than what this old world has to offer. And Father, we want to thank you most of all for Jesus, for it was through his death and through his life that's made it all possible for us to have been adopted and to become members of the great Godhead through adoption. Today, Father, I don't know how these young people feel in their heart, but I don't feel worthy to be in such a position. But Father, every fiber of my being cries out in recognition of the great honor. And that's why I can't honor any other man on this earth, any other woman on this earth, more than I honor Jesus. For he truly is the Lord of my life. He is the King of my heart. And Father, I pray that that same experience might become the experience of every man and every woman in this tent this week. We do thank you, Father, and we thank Jesus, and we thank the Holy Spirit for working together to bring us as members into your family. Bless us now this afternoon in our activities, and help us never to forget that we have been chosen by you to be your kids, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.